I've had a hard time kind of getting a feel for what the city is thinking right now. Are people excited? Are they nervous? Are they cautiously optimistic about
J.J. Watt
what we're going to see?
He's like the sun that rises, Mike. The people don't think about it too much. He'll be back. He missed last year with what would have amounted to overcast skies, and then he'll be back this year. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's an interesting phenomenon because for two or three years, people couldn't shut the hell up about J.J. no matter what the circumstance was. And as we've discussed, every single damned interview started with, "Hey, Dwayne Brown, what's it like playing with J.J. Watt? You get to face him in practice every day. Is that why you're good?" Everybody, you know, that was the most insulting thing. It was almost like everybody was like, "Hey, you probably wouldn't even be a good football player if you didn't play next to J.J. Watt, would you?" And that's what we had for about 3 years. And then things settled down a little bit. And then last year when he was gone, the defense was okay for about two-thirds of the season. And then the last third of the season, it really picked up. And the pass rush really started getting home. Guys like Quentin Demps and others started forcing and accepting turnovers. I have a hard time getting a sense for whether people are nervous or wringing their hands over it or if they question how good he'll be or anything. And I think part of it is just that the defense was really good without him. And that's not to devalue what he's worth or anything, but I don't think people are as, I don't think there's this sense of impending doom if JJ's not completely 100% what he was. The other side of it too is that I think a lot of people are, I don't want to say writing this year off, but they're perhaps willing to accept what might look like a step back or hovering in terms of overall record if Deshaun Watson gets on the field. Or if Tom Savage is a... What percentage of the fans do you think are actually Tom Savage supporters? Like,
well,
hoping that Tom Savage actually wins the job.
I would say maybe like 10 or 15%.
Yeah.
Is that a random figure to throw out there?
Yeah, but who the hell knows? We haven't done a poll, and a Twitter poll doesn't actually tell you anything. If we did a Twitter poll, I'm guessing that there'd be, I think, 30% of the people just for the hell of it would say Tom Savage. And then there might be the extra 10 or 15% that actually want Tom Savage over Deshaun Watson.
So we could craft the question as what percentage of fans are actively want Savage to play?
Yeah. I've seen Tom...
I can't ask for them to play well.
No, we're not going to do the poll. I think Deshaun Watson...
I love polls. You guys hate polls.
Why do you like polls so much?
Because I feel like we don't have enough information.
The problem is, though, it's not accurate information.
How is it not a very small
sliver of the people that listen to our show. I guess it's a good indication of, like, the 10% of our listeners who are actually on Twitter will answer the poll. Maybe
we'll get something or not.
So we'll get a sliver of a percentage of our very defined group of listeners, and then we'll be able to extrapolate that out and draw conclusions from it. I've seen Deshaun Watson added to a couple of like predictions for the season, offensive rookie of the year nominees, stuff like that. You go to NFL.com or ESPN or any of the other big sites right now,
he'll be on there.
Well, that's what you do for these next 2 weeks. It's the news, short of stuff like Le'Veon Bell's turning down his contract offer and all that, it's a whole lot of who's going to be the rookie of the year. What are the headlines we're expecting, anticipating all of that? And people are bullish on Deshaun Watson, and I don't know how much of it has changed from draft day. It just seems like more people, maybe because the reports have been so positive from him about how he's grasping the offense and everything. It seems like more and more people are piling on with expecting a good year out of Deshaun Watson, whatever that means for a rookie.
Here are a couple of questions I will throw out here about J.J. Watt in 2017. How confident are we that he's going to be the player we saw for four straight years where he was basically the greatest defensive player ever? Also, are we expecting him to play all 16 games?
Yeah.
Do we expect to see him in the preseason? If so, how much? And also, how many snaps is he going to play in the games? Because so often he's been on the field for like 98, 99% of the snaps.
I predict he's going to play fewer snaps this season than he would in an otherwise typically healthy year. Like, if he stays healthy the whole year, he'll still play fewer snaps. And
I agree.
Part of it's because he's coming off of injury. Part of it's because he's not old yet, but most defensive linemen don't play more than 90% of the snaps anymore. Everybody takes a blow at some point to stay fresh for the end of the game. I think also just to save his body and preserve his body, it would be best not to... I don't want to say you waste him down inside, but his biggest impact is rushing off the edge and not, and also, you know, against the run off the edge, being able to penetrate and make plays in the backfield without subjecting himself to double teams, without subjecting himself to blindside blocks, all of that. And it's interesting because a few years ago when he first started taking some snaps at defensive end, like true 4-3 defensive end or where he aligned outside, it didn't look real good. It didn't look real good at all, actually. Now that we're going back 4 years, in that time, he's really turned his game into one where he's equally as effective all over the place. So I think he ends up playing fewer snaps, but still gets 16, 17, 18 sacks. I'll be very surprised if this year, if he stays healthy, if he doesn't get 16 sacks.
If he stays healthy. Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that. Okay.
And that's what they measure you by anyway. You mm-hmm. get, you know what? In this damn league, you get 18 sacks and 3 tackles, and people think you're the best thing that ever lived. JJ's always been a guy that can play the run and the pass, but the true huge impact comes with the sacks.
I think they'll play him a little bit in the preseason.
Yeah.
I think a little
Oh, bit. That's right, because, okay, we go back 2 years. Landry, a couple years ago.
3 years ago.
Bill O'Brien rested Jonathan Joseph, Vince Wilfork, and JJ Watt.
And it was a disaster.
And the first three games, JJ was his normal, well, he wasn't his normal
Watt
self, was he?
He was fine.
Joseph and Wilfork really struggled. They just looked rusty as all get out.
Wilfork was a disaster. And Joseph may as well have been a, like, if you had thrown a pitcher in a major league game who was like in February mm-hmm. form.
Wilfork was out there running around like an obese pirate on two peg legs. It was awful. It was Wilfork's first year here too, mm-hmm. and it was kind of like whoa. Well, he didn't do anything
here
in training camp. What the hell is this dude doing? And he eventually played his way into shape. That's why I worry about Wilfork's, for his own personal sake, because I don't think he's going to re-sign with the Texans unless somebody gets injured. The Texans are chock full of rotund defensive linemen mm-hmm. that can play nose tackle or 3-4 defensive end, and guys that they feel pretty good about. So I don't think he's going to be back with the Texans. But if he does go to a team, for his own sake, I think he doesn't need to do one of these things where it's like, hey, I'm going to sign, you know, right around the third preseason game. He needs to, because this is 2 years removed from when he couldn't handle not being in training camp. He needs to get in there and get his lungs working a little bit.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but I don't think he's out there. He hasn't officially retired, and I'd be really surprised if he comes back to the Texans.
You have accused me of sometimes being too confident when a star athlete is coming back from an injury. My confidence level in them being able to come right in and be their usual self.
Yeah.
If I were to do a spectrum of like Dallas Keuchel coming back from his injury and Watt coming back from his, I'm probably a little bit more confident that Keuchel is going to be what he has been the last 2 or 3 years versus Watt. But
well, yeah, but these are wholly different scenarios. Keuchel's already actually played this year.
He has, yeah. I'm just talking about just standards.
Okay.
The thing, though, is Watt's standard of play was so high between 2012 and 2015 that it's hard to expect someone to play exactly at that level.
Uh-huh.
Like, that is a superstar, generational, one of the greatest defensive players of all time.
We keep saying that, though.
Yes.
Every year. These are the things, let me think off the top of my head. The things that we say, because it seems like common sense, and then we're exposed like 6 to 12 months later. One is what we just talked about with J.J. Watt. Two, I'd say for about 7 years, the theme every year in the NBA was, well, the Spurs are going to get old. They're going to get old. They can't keep this up forever. So that as well. The New Orleans Saints defense being horrendous. It seems every year we're like, well, they can't stay this bad forever. And yet they do. They do. They stay this bad every single year. Fourth, Texans special teams. The Texans special teams, like the rising sun, is nothing's more dependable than the Texans special teams sucking. Until a little sign of hope last year. Perhaps a little sign of hope last year, and then if you can extend that onto this year, if this kicker competition yields anything productive, they might actually end up with a respectable special teams unit.
But I'm just saying that since Watt missed all of last season, not all of last season,
yeah,
all but 3 games last season, it's hard to come back and be the greatest defensive player of all time, or the second or the third greatest. Like, uh-huh, that's just a hard level to reach. Like, even with the Saints defense, they were horrible 2 years ago, and they were bad last season, but I don't think they were as horrible.
Give me a Sidney Crosby comparison.
give you a Sidney. Well,
Sidney Crosby had years of missing.
I mean, I think that I don't know if he missed years, but I would say Crosby with the concussions. I'm not a hockey expert.
He had issues for years.
Yeah, he had issues for had issues for years. But whenever he's on the ice,
yeah,
from what I can tell and hear and read, Crosby is still, you know, the best or one of the five best players in the NHL. Mm-hmm.
And now, but he's again, it's hard to predict things when you start talking about all time greats because they tend to break all the rules. So nothing would surprise me at this point. And I think when you talk to people, it doesn't sound like if he makes a recovery from the back surgery and the back injury, then it sounds like everything should be as right as rain. So it just becomes a question of whether he actually completely recovers. And it feels like an almost all or nothing type thing where, all right, either he recovers from it and
that's
he's
scary.
Just as good as he ever was, or he doesn't recover from it and he might be way worse than we've ever seen out of him before. And so I don't know.
Don't make me sad.
Well, I don't know, but that's not how I'm feeling. You saw him out there in the spring.
He looked
as normal. He didn't look like he was limited whatsoever. And it wasn't until like the second or third OTA that I even really consciously remembered, oh yeah, he's coming off of several surgeries here.
Training camp begins on July 26th, and we are going to be broadcasting live. Plus, today and all week, we are giving you a chance to win a really cool exclusive experience at the Texans Field Day, which is going to be August 10th at the Methodist Training Center. You can run drills like the quarterback toss, quarterback sack, 40-yard dash, plus a VIP tour of NRG Stadium. You can listen and win at 7 a.m. this morning on Sports Radio 610. We've got some updates on the O.J. Pearl hearing. Plus, Ron Feinstein, the evil brother of John, weighed in on the Vic Kaepernick saga, and he took a shot at the president along the way.